Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Everyone connects with God in different ways. One of my connection points is being outdoors, so every day I try to run outside.
I want to move and go places and never look back, just have fun.
You ever see the sun come up over the Rockies? It hits all of a sudden and below there's California.
We're so media saturated in this world. We don't go outside. We do not connect with each other and see the beauty of God's creation. And that's just one way that I rejuvenate.
Movies, television, video games. These days, it's hard to tell what's real and what's not.
Cool, baby. You look very switched on.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Good to be sharing this day with you as we get ready for part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author Mary DeMuth, talking about raising authentic kids in a postmodern world. We are here near the end of 2012. If you're listening to us on terrestrial radio today, it's Thursday, December the 27th. If you're listening online, of course, time really doesn't mean anything in the virtual world. But we are coming up on the end of 2012. I want to thank you for your prayers and faithful financial support of this ministry. And if you can give a gift to the ministry to support us here at the end of the year, we'd love to hear from you. The best way, most expedient way, is to give that gift online at homeward.com or call 800-397-9725. And now, here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is a continuing conversation with Mary DeMuth. We're talking about raising authentic kids in a postmodern world, and that's not easy. You know, parenting in today's world has new challenges, absolutely new challenges. I mean, they're kids, they look sort of the same, but it's a different world in which they're living in. And as parents, it's important for us to face those challenges and not hide from them. That's one of the messages here at Homeward. You know, even if you were not raised in a Christian home or a faith-based home, that doesn't mean your home can't be different. But it's going to take some work on your part. Mary's going to help us do that today. She's written a great book called Authentic Parenting in a Postmodern Culture. And Mary is a speaker and a writer, and she has three children. And Mary and her husband, Patrick, live in the Dallas, Texas area, although they've just moved back here from France. Welcome back to our program.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Mary, it's great to have you with us. You know, you talk about your childhood, and when you do, I mean, you say, hey, it was fearful. It was a tough home. There were drugs involved. There were other, you know, crazy things involved in that. But you and your husband also talk about being what we call here a transitional generation family. You call it a pioneering family, because what you're trying to do is come from some of the craziness of a dysfunctional family and actually turn it into a Christ-following family. Not easy. Talk about your experience.
Well, I did grow up in one of those homes I didn't want to duplicate, and so I had a lot of parental anxiety as those little kids came along, so I just didn't know if I was going to be able to do it. So my husband and I just endeavored that we were going to do things differently, prayed a lot, made 1,000 mistakes, and today I think we're doing a pretty good job. It's really hard to be a parenting author because...
I would say a hearty amen to that.
It's hard because, you know, you've got these fallible kids and you're a fallible person and it makes it difficult, but
you know,
we're doing our best.
It does, but you know what I appreciate about you is you talk about authenticity in your book, and, you know, I always start with failure stories in my family. Mm-hmm. Because then, you know, the pressure is off them in some ways. It's off me, but I don't really care that much about it. But it's off them to be, you know, the perfect kids. But
that's right.
You're exactly right. We have to be authentic. But and realize that, you know what, there is great hope. And we can become the transitional generation parents. We can become pioneering parents. And we've got to work toward that. But a lot of it doesn't really depend on our kids. It depends on our own heart, doesn't it? You talk a lot about not only are we role models, but we have to prepare our heart for being an authentic parent.
Absolutely. And I guess maybe I'm the poster child for that because I learned so much by doing, just like any parent does, making lots of mistakes and just trying to see, okay, that didn't work, so I'm going to try something new. It's been a phenomenal journey, but not one, you know, without lots of pitfalls and things like that.
Sure. You have a phrase that I circled, parent from abundance. Sometimes, you know, life is so busy. And life is so complicated, and our personalities are so complicated that it's hard to think of anything but can we get through Friday? And yet you're saying, let's parent from abundance. What does that mean for you?
Well, I have a story to tell about that. I was sitting at my desk, and I try very hard to finish writing by the time my kids come home from school, but it's not always possible. My son comes home, and he is bummed out, and I, in my mind, have my own agenda. And he comes to me three times, and finally, on the third time, I see a tear in his eye, and I know something's terribly wrong. I finally stop what I'm doing, and I, you know, we talk, we pray, we get through what it was that he went through at school. But that night, as I'm sitting in my bed, and those accusatory words are coming at me, and I know lots of parents can relate to this. Oh, you should have done this, should have done that. But the phrase came to mind, and it was this: how can you give your children what you don't have? And in that moment, when he was needing something from me, I did not have anything to give him. And it sent me on a quest of finding God in the midst of busyness and receiving his abundance so that I would have that abundance to give to my children.
Well, you know, you're an incredibly talented writer, great communicator, wife, mother, you know, juggling like crazy. How do you find the time to find that solitude or find that strength so that you can be there and be present with your kids?
You know, I'm learning to make it. And for me, I connect. Everyone connects with God in different ways. One of my connection points is being outdoors. So every day I try to run outside. And that's one of the things I propose in the book as well, is that we're so media saturated in this world. We don't go outside. We do not connect with each other and see the beauty of God's creation. And that's just one way that I rejuvenate.
Yeah, and everybody has to do it differently. In a postmodern culture, one of the things that you also say is that you view art actually as an important learning tool for kids, and that could actually be also an important learning tool for parents as well. What do you mean by that?
Well, one of the things that we did, I thought we did well when we were in France, is we processed our grief of moving from the United States to France through art. So not only did we go and see amazing art and talk about it, but we created our own small scale pieces of art, and it gave me extreme insight into my children's hearts through what they created. And it's just a great tool to use when you're trying to figure out your kids. Just have them draw a picture and try to figure them out.
No, it really is. And actually, you know, I was speaking this weekend at a place where people could actually, as I was speaking to them, they could actually kind of work with some art over in the corner. Mm-hmm. And I thought, now that's going to be interesting. Well, the people who were working with the art, they were, you know, sort of watching me and they were sort of doing the art. They were the people who kind of engaged with me. Mm-hmm. You know, totally a kind of a postmodern thing to do. And I thought, you know what? We find God and we see God in so many different ways. There is the ultimate Jesus Christ who loves us and who died for us, and yet we find him sometimes through art and sometimes through other aspects. I'm going to go back to the idea of authenticity because it's something that's so important in your message. And another component of authenticity with our kids is brokenness. Mm-hmm. And I want you to talk about why you feel that this makes parents even more effective in connecting with their kids when they really experience their own and admit their own brokenness.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that I've seen is when my children see me struggle and I let them into aspects of my heart that I used to protect, then our relationship grows exponentially. It's been a real blessing just to see them also model it back to me. For instance, my husband, sometimes he's not a rageaholic or anything like that at all, but occasionally he loses his temper. And there was one time where he lost his temper with our eldest daughter, and he came to her later and he said, "Hey, I blew it. I lost my temper. Will you forgive me?" 2 days later, she was going through her door slamming phase and was slamming doors. And I've gone through that phase last week, but sure. We're all going through those phases.
We all have a door slamming. Do you have a door slamming phase? Roger says yes. Yeah. Ben says yes. Sure.
That's right. But she just, you know, did her thing and we prayed and we're like, well, what should we do? Should we talk to her about it? No, we felt like we should just leave her alone and let her kind of get through it. Well, she walked up to our bedroom and she used almost the exact phraseology of her father. She said, "I blew it. I lost my temper. Will you forgive me?" And that's the way authenticity in a parent can translate into real growth in a child.
Hmm. Boy, that is so true. You know, I was thinking about a friend of mine who's actually a pastor in Honolulu. His name is Dan Chun, and a great guy. And he said to me one time, we were talking about somebody that he had hired, and I said, "Well, why'd you hire this guy instead of this other guy?" And he said, "Well, you know, I only hire broken people." Hmm. And I said, "Unpack that for me." He said, "Well, you know what? I don't think people who will not admit that they're broken can actually minister, you know, in the church." And I've never forgotten that. It's kind of the same for parenting, isn't it?
It is. And you know, if we show kids that we don't need Jesus, that we're perfect and we have everything together and we never make a mistake, they will not understand that the Christian life is all about falling down, getting back up, and that we actually have a need for a Savior.
Boy,
if we do it perfectly, they won't know. They'll think we're it.
That is so true. Hey, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about laughing and how that helps a family. Okay, it seems like your family would have some laughter. We do. And yet, sometimes in the pace of life and in the busyness of life, we sort of forget that play and fun and laughter is actually one of the things that brings a close-knit family together. We'll be right back. Mary DeMuth is with us, popular speaker and writer. Great book. It's called Authentic Parenting in a Postmodern Culture. Roger?
Well, if you'd like to learn more about that resource, you can go online to homeward.com today. We have a link to Mary's website. Of course, you can find these books anywhere. That's the great thing about the virtual world, is if you're looking for a resource, you can find it just about any price that you want to pay for it, too. But Mary's book is one that Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends. And here, as we come up on the end of 2012, I want to thank you for the fact that so many Homeward listeners have gone to homeward.com, looked at our online resource center, signed up for the Good Advice Parent newsletter, signed up for the daily online devotional, but also have taken advantage of the fact that you can get a really good price on Dr. Jim Burns' books through homeward.com. And when you buy the book, a portion of the proceeds actually goes to supporting our ministry as well. So if you check us out online, homeward.com, look at any of Jim's books like Teenology or Closer or How to Talk to Your Kids About Drugs, any of those books, and then know that if you purchase that book or those books from homeward.com, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, and we truly appreciate it. That's what keeps our ministry on the air here. More from Jim and Mary in just a moment as Homeward continues.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Hey, we're home.
Aha, the cleaning crew returns.
Oh, yeah, and I feel like we brought half the dust home with us.
Tina, you're such a priss.
Now, Heather, did you have fun?
Oh, yeah. Mrs. Decker had so many boxes of stuff in her garage. Good thing Brian came along.
Hey, what can I say? Heavy lifting is my specialty.
Right. You just wanted to get close to that 55 Chevy of hers.
Oh, sounds like a classic. Hey, guys, next time you need a hand...
Nice try, Dad. We needed your help a couple hours ago.
I'm afraid the church has become so compartmentalized today that many of our young people are missing out on lots of tremendous opportunities to build the kingdom. I think it's great to see believers helping others in need, and I really love to see kids getting involved. So get involved. Share the love of Christ with someone who really needs it. For a free copy of my tip sheet called Getting Involved, Community Service Made Fun, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Before we continue with today's program, we turn our attention once again to Dr. Jim Burns' recommended resource. It promises a new way to think about the question of evil in our culture today. And Jim, my question to you is, does this book succeed in answering that question?
Well, I think it does, Roger. I really do. The problem of evil is perhaps the most difficult question a Christian oftentimes will face. If God is good and if he's all-powerful and he's all-loving, then why is there so much suffering in the world is the question that I hear all the time in different ways. Can't he just make it all stop?
Sure.
You know, and I've prayed that prayer before as well, of course. Well, Norman Geisler, who I think is one of the great biblical authorities of our time, Dr. Norman Geisler, he's written a very powerful new book, and he answers a lot of these tough questions, and he does it in a really great way. He provides a new approach centering on whether or not the world we're living in is actually the best of all possible worlds, and how we can answer the question and solve some of this issue. It doesn't mean we're going to solve our problems or take our problems away, but we'll have a new approach of looking at it. Dr. Norman Geisler's new book is called If God, Why Evil? And I'm going to highly recommend this book to any of our listeners, Roger.
Absolutely. Well, you can learn more when you visit our online resource center at homeward.com. It's available wherever Christian books are sold. Again, the title, If God, Why Evil? A New Way to Think About the Question by Dr. Norman Geisler. It's Dr. Jim Burns' recommended resource for the remainder of this month from Bethany House Publishers.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today. Mary DeMuth is with us. We're talking about raising authentic kids in a postmodern world. Mary DeMuth is a popular speaker and writer and a great writer on parenting issues. Some great books out there. The one we're talking about today is called Authentic Parenting in a Postmodern Culture. Mary, right before the break, I mentioned that one of your principles for creating a home that's kind of a haven, as we've talked about, is to laugh hard, but not at someone's expense. You know, I actually think play and laughter really does bring the family closer, but it's not always easy because, you know, there's a lot of bitterness and resentment and, you know, kind of bump into each other. Speak to that subject.
It's hard to be lighthearted And you would think that that would be easy, but learning to just foster that kind of attitude where we learn not, like you said, not to laugh at someone's expense. But we do that around the dinner table. We are a dinner table family. I think maybe we're a dying breed, but every single night we eat dinner together. And that is where most of our laughter and our conversation comes from.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you'd say that. I have a friend who has created something called Mealtime is Family Time.
Mm.
And actually, he's doing it in the Tucson, Arizona area, and thousands of families are getting involved in this. This is not necessarily a Christian thing, although he's a strong Christian. It's a, you know, it's something that families are craving for. So you really have to be intentional about it, but then you also have to sometimes be intentional about being lighthearted. It means you can't have that serious conversation with your kid that you really need to have at the dinner table because you want to have some fun and create this haven.
Exactly. One of the things that we did, we were driving home from Colorado, and I got tired of the fact that we were doing high lows around the dinner table. It just kind of got, yeah, I had a great recess, and oh no, that kid kicked me, and that, you know, your high low. So we created 150 conversation starters, and I put them in a hat, and every night we would pull one out, and they're on my website. So if people want to start doing that with their family, they can do that as well. But we would just pick one out, and some of those were quite humorous, and we got to kind of really know what's going on in our children's lives. So that was one little tiny tool that we use. It's very practical of how we engaged and laughed. And
well, it's great. You got to laugh. You got to create a safe haven. How do you do that when there's major tension in the family? Just major, major tension. How do you get past it?
I don't know. I mean, I think that is a barrier.
Yeah.
And for me, I think it goes to, maybe it's cliche, but to get on my knees and to begin to pray that God would move in the midst of that situation. But I do believe having that lighthearted attitude, yeah, and doing things together, going outside, playing games, turning the TV off, competing on the Wii, whatever you can do just to kind of keep things lighthearted will really cut some of that tension. And laughter is just one of those great ways to do that.
You know, you're so right. It's funny that I'm going to admit this on radio because some people have problems with games like the Wii game. But for Father's Day, you know, Kathy and the girls bought me a Wii game. And I'm not a guy. I don't know video stuff. I don't know the Mario Kart and all those kind of things. Well, as a family, we started playing. We played through the summer. And then they actually bought the Mario Kart for my birthday. And my daughter the other day said, "Hey, Dad, let's play a game." And so I went to our game box, which we don't play all that often. But she goes, "No, no, no, let's play Wii." And all of a sudden I realized, wait, I'm spending some quality time with her playing this game and we're laughing and she loves it because she can beat me most every time. But it's been a pretty interesting thing for our family. It's made us turn off the TV, not that we watch a whole lot of TV. So what you're saying is be intentional about it. It doesn't have to be a Wii game, obviously, and they're kind of expensive, but it could be anything that gets the family enjoying each other's company.
Right. And it can even be that you're watching a movie together. So many people are anti-media that they don't let their kids watch anything. But why not, as they get older, come alongside them, watch maybe something slightly objectionable and then discuss it afterwards? And we talk about, well, what's the worldview of that character and what does this mean? And what did you think about this scene? And just interacting on that level is really helpful because they'll need that later.
No, you know, exactly. A lot of times as parents, we think, well, if we're going to have the talk about absolute truth, we got to sit them down at the table and we need to lecture them. Actually, that talk happens much more through dialogue by watching a movie or the television show or whatever it may be. Now, we're raising kids in a postmodern culture, and obviously that means it's a culture that's not always a place to be quick to embrace the concept of, say, absolute truth or a biblical worldview. Talk to us on how we as parents can use the Bible to speak truth into the lives of kids.
I think, again, as I mentioned before, that it's a lot about living it out and not only just talking about the Bible, learning the Bible, reading the Bible, but living it out on the pavement of real life. And that has really helped, I think, my kids see it more.
You know, what I'm hearing more and more people talk about is what David Kinnaman talks about in his book called Unchristian, where he says that today's generation of kids are kind of looking at the church in a different way. They're saying that it's not tolerant at all. They're saying that it's way too political. They're saying that it's anti this or anti that. And in some ways, they're looking at the church in a negative way. And I love the church, and I believe in the church. And yet, there are issues that aren't directly addressed in Scripture. And sometimes our kids will ask us a question about one of those issues. And as parents, sometimes we sort of freeze up. What advice do you have for a parent who's facing a situation like that right now?
I think it's going back to that crazy word authenticity and to say, hey, you know what? I don't know, but I am willing to search along the scriptures with you and let's try to figure out maybe what the principle would be behind loving our neighbor in this situation that you brought up. Admitting that we might not know is actually a gift to our children, because when they get out into the real world, in the college world, where they're constantly attacked for their beliefs, if they have learned to wrestle with the scriptures like Jacob wrestled with God, then they're going to be so much stronger later.
Yeah, you're so right. We've got to be able to teach our kids to be critical thinkers, not negative mm-hmm. thinkers, but critical, mm-hmm. you know, to look at things from every angle and realize that God is bigger than sometimes our doubts or their questions or whatever it may be. You use the word gift, and you have actually a chapter in your book called A Gift. And one of the things that you said in there, and I want to quote this back mm-hmm. to you, and I want you to comment on it. I told you before the program, I starred, circled this. It says, thankfulness, or the lack of it, is perhaps the primary measuring stick of our closeness to Jesus. And we've got to train our kids to understand that thankfulness is a good gift. Mm-hmm. Speak to that.
Well, we live in a, you know, whether we were in the modern culture or the postmodern culture, skepticism marked both, and kind of that negative, angry attitude. And so I think to appear as lights in the world, as we are as Christians, we need to have that attitude of gratitude. One time my daughter, I told her that I needed her to clean her room, and she said, Mommy, I would be gratitude. And I thought, now there's a perfect phrase to show who we should be in Jesus, because shouldn't we as Christians be the most infectious people on the planet Earth? You know, Jesus, wherever he went, people were following him. They wanted to be near him. They wanted to touch him. And why do we think that we have to be boring and non-grateful and all of those things that you know, we want to grumble about our culture? Instead, why can't we be thankful for what God has given us and have that gratitude? One of the things that people have told me about my family is they've watched my children. They've said things like, you know, your kids are so thankful. They thanked me for this. They thanked me for that. And that really made an impact on my life. Our kids can be missionaries to the world to the degree that they've learned gratitude.
Boy, that's a great comment. Thank you so much for coming. I feel like we've learned so much from you today.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Mary DeMuth here on the Homeward Broadcast. Our theme, Raising Authentic Kids in a Postmodern World. She's written a book called Authentic Parenting in a Postmodern Culture. It's something you want to check out. And you can learn more about Mary's ministry when you go to homeward.com. You can also check her out online at marydemuth.com. Sign up. Start the year off on the right spiritual foot, as they say. January 1st is next Tuesday, and Homeward's daily online devotional is a great way for you to kind of get a spiritual tune-up each and every day. I know a lot of people are going to make New Year's resolutions for Bible studies and things like that. The Homeward Daily Online Devotional is easy to use. It's a nugget of encouragement from God's Word, a scripture verse, thoughts for the day put together by Jim Burns, Doug Fields, and more members of our staff. And you can sign up free at homeward.com for our daily online devotional. And also, Jim, another resource that's free that parents will want to take advantage of is a new set of tip sheets that we have created here recently to help parents talk to kids about the biblical plan for handling money, for stewardship, saving, giving, investing, and the like.
Well, you're right, Roger, and I'm very excited about them. I know a lot of families have really been impacted by the challenges in this particular economy.
Yeah.
And you know what? I believe that these changes can lead to a lot of what I would call teachable moments for our kids, for our grandkids, and even for our own lives regarding stewardship and just how important it is. Stewardship is more than just an issue of how you spend your money. It involves how you invest your time, how you care for the most important relationships in your life as well. And that starts with our relationship with God.
Amen.
But it's so key to so many things about our life. And Homeward has created a brand new set of tip sheets. I'm very excited about it. The tip sheets are about money and stewardship, and they're based on a series of well-known Bible stories that should be fairly easy for your kids to understand. But they also include some very practical tips for your whole family. You can start looking at these issues like giving and saving and even investing from more of an eternal perspective. Great new tip sheets.
And it's very easy to get a hold of these, too. First, I have to thank Rod Emery and the staff at Steadfast, which is a company, it's a real estate investment trust company, what they do. I mean, that's where they're, that's their stock and trade. That's how they make money. But as Christian businessmen and women, they are also deeply committed to helping parents teach kids about biblical stewardship. And as Mary Hunt likes to say in her book, Debt Proof Your Kids, she talks about the fact that raising financially confident kids, if you teach your kids how to handle money, they move through the teen years a lot less stressed out. They move into college and they can actually face adulthood a lot better. And so these tip sheets that we've created with the partnership with Steadfast are key. Get these. They're free. And we want to thank Steadfast. It's an easy way to remember how to get them. Go to homeward.com, hit the articles and media icon. There's a search function that says get answers, and you write in the word Steadfast, STEADFAST. Tip sheets will come up. You can download them, print them out, read them, use them any way you want to, but get those tip sheets today so you can make 2013 a great year financially for your family.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.